Today's word is Exodus chapter 19, verse 1 to verse 6. On the first day of the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on that very day they came to the desert of Sinai. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountains and said, "This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did in Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." These are the words you have to speak to the Israelites. Today's title of the sermon is, we're now taking a look at the direction we're heading in. How is a believer born and where should they be headed? So we've gone through the chronological history of the Bible three times now. We now want to have some introductory sermons. So the historical background of today's verse is towards the end of Jacob's life. He lives the rest of his life in Egypt, and his whole family end up migrating to Egypt. They settle there for 400 years. But as the population of the Israelites increased, they were oppressed by the Egyptians, and they actually then experienced genocide. The Israelites were in danger with no one to protect them. They were looking at seeing the end of their nation. And it is then that God sends Moses to save his people. They cross the Red Sea in a miraculous way, and then God guides his people to Mount Sinai. As Moses is the interceder, God enters into a covenant and promise with his people, with the Israelites. And this is the beginning of that covenant relationship. So we want to look at how people are saved, how they should live before they enter the kingdom of God, in what way should they mature as Christians. I want to look at how a believer is saved and what they should do before they enter the kingdom of God, and how a believer matures and grows in the process of how they should live. This is what I want to consider today. The journey of the Israelites in the book of Exodus sets out the journey of believers before salvation and after salvation, and also teaches us what we need to do in our journey of faith. However, there are many people in the church who just come to church. We should know God and meet him in the Word of God, but oftentimes we don't do that within the church. It is because people don't know their true identity as Christians, and they don't know what their calling is in their church. All they think about is the rules and laws in the Bible. But when we really come to know God in the Word of God, then the Word of God is like honey to our taste. It becomes our light and our path. And so then we can take what we've learned and live according to that way in our lives at work or wherever we are in society. But many people come to church. All they do is like running around in church and doing work. But they're confused, they don't really know God. They say they're Christians. They only have the joy that they first experience when they're saved from death to life. They don't know what their identity is, and they don't know why they're on this earth, and they don't know what their role is. All they know is that they were saved from hell because they've received salvation and forgiveness, and they can go to heaven. And so they've been given freedom, and so if they pray, the Almighty God will hear them. They think that if they pray really hard, God will protect them from weaknesses, from their loneliness, and from any urgent situations. And they think that they will receive the love of God, and God really, really loves them. And this is not wrong, but they don't realize the very important mission God has given us through his death and through his salvation. People don't know the important mission that they have. They don't know the true joy that comes from really knowing God and then letting others know about God and preaching to others about God. When you read today's verse, when God saved his people, he made them his children. He saved them from their urgent situation. They were facing basically the wipeout of their whole nation and sure death. However, he gave them a clear way as he saved their lives, but he also gave them a clear way and showed them the way as to how to live on this earth as people were saved, and he gave the people a calling and a mission in their lives. Many people just come to church and their bodies are in the church, but then when they go out, they just live like everybody else. They don't know the reason for which they've been called, and all they think is that they need to receive love in the church. God has called us for a reason. He's called us for a mission. People don't really want to know the will of God in calling us, but all they want to do is just receive from God, and they just want to be pampered by God. And they become like, they just follow the people around them, and then it's just like monkey see, monkey do in terms of the way that they live their lives. When they look at other people who are obeying God, they say, oh, that person's special. They've just been given a special calling. They don't look to God, but they just look at a person in front of them, around them. God has a specific calling and reason and purpose for why he saved you, but people don't know that, and they just come to church and look at people around them, and they just pretend to pray and just do whatever everyone else does. In Africa, in the south, there's an animal called the springbok. So they often go around in large herds as a form of self-protection, but it actually creates a dangerous situation at times, because the more animals there are in the herd, springboks, they run out of food, and so they push the back of the herd, then pushes to the front of the herd. And then sometimes a stampede happens without any reason or without any... And then they just keep running without stopping. And what happens is often, sadly, they fall off cliffs in large numbers. And sometimes about 90% of the herd just falls off the cliff. They don't know where they're going or why they're running. They just keep running. I think that this kind of springbok behavior is prevalent in the church as well amongst believers. We need to be proactive people who live with God, actively with God, proactively with God. But people just don't know, don't confirm for themselves, just to follow whatever the pastor says. They just do whatever everyone else around them does. And they don't even know why they're doing it. They just follow. Basically, they're just following the tail of the person in front of them. And so if they run, they run. And so they carry on their faith on the basis of other people's expectations. And so then it's hard work, and it becomes a burden to them. And so these people are not going towards the calling to which they've been called, but they just follow other people, the pastor and other leaders. And we need to ask the question whether we are like that. Are we being proactive in our lives as Christians, or are we following the people around us? If we do this, live in this way, people burn out within the church, and there are a lot of people in the church like this. As people call to be a holy nation of priests, look back on your life. You may be working hard, but do you know why you're running? Do you know the will of God when you're doing this? Are you living with God face to face? Are you experiencing joy? Or are you just dragging your feet and just following everyone else's lead? And there are many people who fall as a result of this. So we need to know our identity in the Word of God. We need to meet Him in the Word of God. And we also need to know what our journey of faith is like so that we're not misled. And we shouldn't be people who, when we need to obey, just say, oh, I'll leave everything to God and not obey. So they don't know God's heart. They haven't met God. So coming to church just becomes like a constant burden. So we need to find our identity in the Word of God. But the book of Exodus really shows us the journey of our faith. So I want to look at the journey in the book of Exodus. I want to look at how we can really realize and know what our true identity is. And so I want us to be able to reflect on our own faith in our own journey of faith by looking at the journey of the Israelites in the book of Exodus. So firstly, the life in Egypt represents a relationship, where we are severed in terms of our relationship with God. The life in Egypt represents the world, death, or a life where people just live whichever way they please. This is the life of us previously before we were saved. There were lots of temptations, and where sin was just overflowing. So if you had no money or power, you were oppressed. But if you had money and power, then you would oppress others. So no matter how good your life looks on the outside, and even if everybody else is living in this way, if you live a life without God, basically the end of result of that is death. So the problem of sin is extremely serious, because this we sin when we live the way we think is right. So only God could resolve the problem of sin, and the only way He did that was through Jesus Christ, His life, when He gave His life on the cross. Because sin is an extremely it's unsolvable problem for us. If you imagine sin, the analogy of being in a large river that you simply cannot cross with your own strength. People think of sin as like a little toy thing, like a small thing, like just being like a swimming pool. But it's actually something that we cannot actually come out of our own ability or strength. So living the way you think is right, that is sin. The Bible says that at the end of sin is death and destruction. And so people say that there's nothing after death. But how do those people know if they haven't seen with their own eyes or haven't experienced what comes after death? I mean, there are things that we cannot see with our own eyes, like infrared rays or ultraviolet rays. But that doesn't mean that they don't exist. And there are also noises that we can't hear as well. It doesn't mean that they don't exist. There is a spiritual world out there that we cannot actually see or hear with our eyes or hear with our ears. There is a story about a fly that only lived for one day and a grasshopper. They were playing really well together, and then they were about to go home. So the grasshopper said to the fly, "Oh, I'll see you tomorrow." And then the fly said, "What does tomorrow mean?" And so the grasshopper tried to explain what tomorrow meant, but the fly couldn't understand, because to him there was no tomorrow. So to the fly, just because tomorrow doesn't exist, does that mean that there is no tomorrow at all? No, that's not the fact. As Christians, we know that there is a tomorrow. We know that Jesus Christ will return to this earth. We know that there will be a time of judgment for this world. We know that even if we live really faithful and kind lives with good deeds, we are not saved, then that path is going to hell. And that is what Egypt represents. You you need to remember that you have left Egypt behind you. And so secondly, the Red Sea, that represents the fact that we were totally powerless, but because of the almighty power of Jesus Christ, we were able to be miraculously saved, given salvation, and we were able to cross from death into life through the power of Christ. The Red Sea, the crossing, teaches us that people cannot be saved by their own power, but only can be saved by the power of God. People were saved by the great power of God. If God had not guided them, had not allowed it, it would not have happened. So if this is a place where people can really confirm their utter weakness, their inability to save themselves, we are powerless to save ourselves. So we can only cross the Red Sea when our former selves is dead. Our old selves must die. We need to lay down our previous thoughts and greed, and we need to follow Jesus Christ as the only way, and only follow the word of the Lord. So that is why we are able, that's why the Israelites were able to follow God even into the Red Sea. And so then after that, the crossing of the Red Sea, we are able to live a true life. If we don't follow God with faith and depend on his grace and know that we cannot save ourselves, then we cannot cross the Red Sea. It is not by our power that we have been saved, but by the power of God. It's extremely important. And so the crossing of the Red Sea represents the reconciling and the restoration of the relationship between God and man. And Egypt represented death and the severance of the relationship between God and man. And so we can't stay in this place of the Red Sea. We can't stay there. God then guides them and takes them somewhere. And so we need to know that our identity is that we follow God's lead in our lives. But what the Israelites found was that they found themselves in the desert. So the third point is the desert. So we don't stay in just the joy that we feel from salvation. We follow God's lead, and so that we can realize our true identity. When we cross the Red Sea, that is a place where we have met Jesus. However, we now then cross into from death into salvation, and the place that we find ourselves is the desert. And the actual place that we are heading towards is the land of Canaan and the land of promise. But lots of people just want to stay where they are and don't want to progress further. God wants to guide them, and because he has an actual plan and he has a purpose for why he's called his people. God is just not someone who frees us from something. He wants us to go towards something. He has freed us so that we can go towards, free to do something else. So you and I, we have also crossed from death to life. What we need to do is we've been saved in the same way. We must not then return to our lives that we lived when we were dead. We need to be able to, we need to go out towards and step out toward in God's plan for us. And we need to go in the direction to which he's guiding us. And we need to have faith and go out. God has a reason for why he has called us. We have escaped from death, but we need to step out into the plan that God has called us to. We need to open our spiritual eyes. We need to have faith that he has called us to life, and a life of love, where we experience his love. He will not guide us to death. So we have crossed the Red Sea. We have arrived in the desert. We can't stay at the Red Sea and ask for that miracle again and again. We need to realize that God has prepared a place for us, and so we need to follow God where he wants us to go. And so the fourth place is Mount Sinai, and that's where God guided his people to. Now that we have are dead to our former selves, where we live by greed, and now we need to confirm and learn what our true identity is in God. God doesn't take his people straight to the land of Canaan, but he takes them first to Mount Sinai. And this is the place where he enters into a promise and a covenant with his people. God has called them to be free from Egypt, but not to just remain in that, but to know why they were being called. And so before we go into heaven, what we need to do in the meantime and how we need to do it, and in order for God to teach them to do that, he brought them to Mount Sinai so that they could be free to do his will. And so basically, he wants this important promise is contained in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 1. Because we've now become new people and a new creation. And he says, the Lord says, speak to the Israelites and say to them, I am the Lord your God. You must not do as they do in Egypt, where you used to live, and you must not do as they do in the land of Canaan, where I bring you. Do not follow their practices. You must obey my laws and be careful to follow my decrees, I am the Lord your God. So we have then received this kind of salvation from God. What we need to do is then live in accordance to the promises, in accordance to the values of the contained in the Word of God. And so we do that wherever we're placed, whether it be in our workplaces, in our families, outside of the church. So we need to know God's Word, which will teach us how to be people that God wants us to be, the people that God has purposed us to be, the place where we are taught the Word of God. So today's Mount Sinai is the church. The church may teach us tithe or do God's work, but what is the most important thing is that we know God's will, we know that we know it properly, and then we do everything else. So whatever church you're in, you need to know God's Word first of all. So when we bring people to church, we can't just guide them to church. What they need to do is they need to be preached at church. They need to know God's heart and know who he is and meet him in the Word of God. Our priority as a Christian is knowing God's will and doing it as quickly as possible. So you may lack in skill, but if you have the knowledge and the foundational knowledge, then basically you can go into a workplace without the required skill, but build up on your experience and do really well. And Jesus has said in his word that not everybody who calls on God will go enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of God will enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the Holy Spirit will help us to realize and to have a revelation and to will open our eyes to the Word of God and his will. So what I need to do in the pulpit, what needs to be done, is not just to try and move your hearts or to give you, like, change you emotionally, but if I just preach the Word of God as is, then the Holy Spirit will do the rest. So God is the only one he is the creator of all this world and the people in it. He is the only one who can make the laws that will give us happiness and purpose in this life. And so without that, we cannot live in the right way. So people in the world, on the outside, they may look like they're living a really proper life, but we can see now in the news that so many people's sins and misdeeds are coming to light. Because this world is a world where the weak are stepped on by the powerful. Where the powerful wield power and abuse and oppress the people around them. God knows that this is within people's natures, so that is why the first place God took them in the desert, his people, was to Mount Sinai. So he then taught them the life and the way the way that they should live in order to receive blessings, the kind of life that they should lead with order in order to have happiness. So we know that. And so we see in history that the people of God failed and fell when they failed to obey the word of God. And they prospered and they were strengthened when they were able to obey God. So that the community or the society that loses its standard in the word of God, that loses that basis, it naturally is going to fall apart. And the person who does that, it also falls apart. If you were just to walk out onto the freeway, see what's going to happen when you don't obey the rules and regulations. So when we do that in our lives, when it comes to God's laws, when we ignore His warnings and just walk out into what is warned us against, then we have the similar consequences. So you come to church to come to Mount Sinai so that you want to know God's truth and His heart. You need to know God, the motive as to why you were called, the motive, the reason behind why you were saved. If we know God's standards in the right way, then we know what we need to do and what we need to refrain and not to do. Then we are able to discern what is wrong and what is right in our lives. So the church, its role is to be Mount Sinai in this world. And Moses taught his people and through God that the next generation and the next generation should be taught about God as well, and that they should gather in one place every 7 years and learn the word of God. However, people forgot the standards in the word of God. They turned their backs to God and they started to hear God's laws as a nuisance and as nagging. And so then they go towards their own self-destruction. Whatever you do in the church, what should motivate you is a heart that wants to know God's truth and a heart that wants to know God. But so many people come to church, but then they go out in the world and they just completely put aside the word of God. And they don't want to listen to the word of God. They don't want to read the word of God. Because Satan hates the word of God. And they just do what Satan wants them to do or what they want to do in this world. And so we see in the word of God where people are not ready. They come to the feast without the wedding, the white, without the right clothes on. And so people come to church, they do what they think they need to do, but they actually live the way they want, ignoring God and His laws and ignoring knowing the truth in the word of God. And they find that they go to the feast and God is saying, you're not prepared. So Christians, they forget that there needs to be, effort that needs to be, there needs to be blood, sweat and tears, there needs to be a sowing of the seed in order for there to be a harvest in terms of what they, the word of God and their journey in faith, but they completely neglect to do this. So that they don't know that there is a blessing that comes from the sweat that the sweat that they exert in summer, the effort that they put in, and then the rewards and the harvest that they experience in autumn and spring. And we need to live in this kind of way. We need to have the standard in the word of God in our lives. So you gather, I know, to get comfort and encouragement from one another. But our main purpose is to know God's will. And so we really want to know God's heart and His will, so that whatever we're experiencing, that we can know that His rod and His staff guides us. Today we looked into where God is guiding us in our lives as Christians. He is guiding us to Mount Sinai, to the church, so that we know God's will, and that must be our priority in our lives. So as you live your lives this week, don't simply stop at being free from death, but use your freedom to do the will of God. Don't complain that you're burnt out all the time, but know God's heart. Be refreshed in Him. I bless you to live in this way. That's the end of the word today.